right, good morning, everyone. Zaslo and Amber, it is a Friday morning, the 17th morning of January. I love Friday, that's what I'm talking about. Yes, good to have you aboard. Amber is out. She'll be back next week. I don't know if she'll be back on Monday. It's Martin Luther King Day, okay? So I imagine she'll be back on Tuesday, would be my guess. But that means that Brian Monroe is our pal today. He is filling in. Brian, good morning. Hey, man.
What's good, man? You had to bring in the closer on a Friday. You know what I'm saying?
That's
Make
right.
this thing fun. We have a good time going into the
Got
weekend.
Got tired of that Zach Duarte. It's enough of you already. Come on.
He moans too much.
4 days. Let's go.
Yeah, no way.
So Brian always joins us on Friday, so he'll hang out with us the whole show today. I'm feeling good this morning. I'm in a great mood today, okay? Usually, here's my routine in the morning. Usually on the way in, I'll listen to sports radio, okay, on the way in. There's a couple shows I flip back and forth with, one of which being Tobin and Leroy, okay? So I'll listen to my sports shows in the morning. But I didn't do that this morning, okay? Because that's almost like work. I mean, I enjoy the shows that I'm listening to, obviously, but there's a little bit of a work element involved. I'm trying, you know, what's everyone talking about? What the big did I miss anything late last night, early this morning? So I'll be listening to all of that. But today I did a different routine. I decided, you know what I'm doing? I'm listening to Pearl Jam the whole way in. That's right. Feel good this morning. I'm in a good mood.
You get some concert tickets or something?
Well, I'm in a very Pearl Jam mood this week. That's okay. Right, because they announced at the beginning of the week, they announced their North American tour, okay? And I'm going to find out any day now. Sometime this weekend they're doing it. We'll find out if I got my tickets, because you got to put in for tickets, okay? It's like a lottery-type system.
What?
Yeah, well, listen, the whole world wants to go. They're playing. They don't have tickets for everyone.
Or are they just playing small venues?
Well, they're playing arenas. Like I put in for Madison Square Garden. So, no, they're certainly not playing small venues. I mean, that's 20,000 people.
That many people want to go see Pearl Jam still?
Dude, the last two times that I've seen them has been at Fenway Park. They've been playing stadiums. Okay.
So why is it a lottery? I can't just say, hey, highest bidder, this is my ticket, go.
I'll tell you why. First, let me give people a chance to win $1,000, all right? You know how we do at the top of
money.
Every hour here, all right? Texting the word PACE. Texting the word PACE to 72881. You can win $1,000. Your next chance will be at the top of next hour. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. Don't you do it. It's a national contest sponsored by Anna Jarn Levine, Accident Attorneys.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
So normally they've been playing stadiums, which I hate, okay? Just it's arenas is so much better. It's a tight atmosphere. Mm-hmm. You feel closer to the band. I think it sounds better. And the crowd is louder. Okay, you don't get that intimacy, obviously, at a stadium. But, I mean, hell, they're playing, you know, stadiums, 15 to 20,000 people. Like, I put in from Madison Square Garden. And they play the type of shows where they sell the entire building, meaning you'll sit behind the stage. They sell all those tickets behind the stage, too.
Who the heck is buying something you can't see?
Most bands, obviously, don't sell behind the stage. No, Pearl Jam sells behind the stage. And it's filled to the rafters. It's not an empty seat. Behind the stage is awesome, dude.
You can't see anything.
No, man. Behind the stage is great, and I'll tell you why, okay? I've sat behind the stage for Pearl Jam twice, okay? And it's great because, number one, those tickets, and this goes for many shows,
mm-hmm.
those tickets are undervalued, okay? Because people see when they go online to Ticketmaster. You know I'm Ticket Ninja, okay? I know about getting tickets. People go online to get tickets, and it says on it, warning, obstructed view, okay? And the ticket will be a little bit cheaper as a result. But that's BS, obstructed view. I would much rather be sitting 100 feet away. That's very close. I'd much rather be sitting 100 feet away from the band and, wah, I'm looking over their shoulder than sit all the way at the other end of the arena looking straight on. Where they look like, little tiny people.
Yeah.
I'd much rather be looking over their shoulder. I could see every movement they make. I'm on top of them. I love sitting behind the stage. I love it. I'm telling you, those are undervalued seats, man.
See, that's the thing. That's me in concerts, right? I'm spoiled. Like, I'm not going to a concert unless I'm like, first 20 rows.
Well, I'm like that, too. Yes.
Unless you give me some good seats
or a
suite. I'm not going.
Yeah, I'm like that, too.
It's not me.
And I'll tell you what's also a great part of when you sit behind the stage, you see in the whole arena. And you get that experience of seeing the crowd involvement on top of seeing the band and enjoying the music. And it's a fun experience. Just seeing the crowd, seeing the mass.
You're geeked up about this.
See a people. It's a fun experience. So anyway, So I had to put in tickets. I'm going to find out this weekend if I got my tickets. I mean, Madison Square Garden, it's the most popular show on the tour. It's 50-50 whether or not I'm going to get my tickets.
Nothing closer?
Yes, a couple things closer, like Nashville. You know, that's the closest. But I want to go. I want to go to Madison Square Garden. It's New York City. It's a special type.
I feel like as many shows have you been to for Pearl Jam, you've been to Madison Square Garden for them.
I've seen them twice there.
Okay, yeah. So this isn't anything new.
Yeah, but I also know that it's very special. Okay, because I've done it. Okay. So I have seen them twice there, and I don't have tickets to the show yet. I already have my plane tickets.
What?
Yeah, man.
Oh my God.
Like I'm going.
You're going regardless.
Yeah, like if I get shut out this weekend, if I find that I did not get the tickets, which is totally possible.
Can you guys scalp some?
Well, it won't be scalping. I'll have to go the Ticketmaster pre-sale route, which is next week. And I'm getting in. I'm getting good seats.
You're going regardless.
Yeah,
I'm not saying.
I'm not worried about it.
All right.
Yeah, and I'm also excited because I'm taking my son with me. Okay, I'm taking my older son with me.
Okay, nice.
So we're flying up there together, and go see him in New York City. It's gonna be really great.
That's what's up.
Yeah. So I'm excited over that, and I'm in a good mood today because I rarely listen to music on the way, and I was listening to Pearl Jam the whole way in this morning. Speaking of which, and we'll get to headlines here in a second. So I brought this up to Zach yesterday. Super Bowl week. All right.
Ooh, can't wait.
It's gonna be a big week. That's a big week. That's a big week or not a big week, that's a big week, okay?
A huge week.
So that's coming up in a couple of weeks. Obviously, you know, when it comes to the radio station, Radio Row, that whole deal, it's going to be a lot of fun. But that whole week, parties, Miami Beach, all that stuff. You're into that, right?
Yeah, you find me there.
Yeah, I'm out for that just because it's the late nights and it's not my thing anymore, okay? It's definitely your thing. And I've also done it before,
yeah.
Okay? So anyway, but there are great shows that week leading up to You know, there's the night before concert, Zac Brown Band, which is an Entercom thing, and that's at BB&T Center. You got the shows at American Airlines Arena, Maroon 5, DJ Khaled, and Guns N' Roses.
I heard about
okay?
that.
So Guns N' Roses is the Friday before the Super Bowl at American Airlines Arena, and I'm going. I'm really
You're
excited.
You're ready for that
I'm
one.
Really excited. And I'm taking my younger son with me. He's only 8 years old. And loves Guns N' Roses. Both my kids like real good music. So
I wonder where they learned that from.
Yeah, and you know they're both learning instruments, so they're into music. And so I'm taking my younger son with me, and he loves Guns N' Roses. And so I found out 2 days ago. I brought this up to Zach yesterday because I was wavering. Like, is this a problem, you think? And I found out 2 days ago the opening act for Guns N' Roses. Do you know who the opener is for Guns N' Roses?
The opening act for Guns N' Roses, would it be a problem? So I'm guessing it's a female act.
It's not.
Maybe a little risky. No?
No, not a female
a
act.
A rap.
Yes.
Okay, so that means probably some curse words involved. That's why you're worrying about it.
Maybe.
I have no idea.
Snoop.
Oh, yes. That's what I'm talking about, baby. You're good. You're going to learn about more than curse words.
I mean, like, I figure that is going to be fun. Okay, now I've seen Snoop before.
Yeah.
And I figured that's going to be fun, okay? But I'm also, but now I'm sitting back and I'm thinking about it, I'm like, it's still cool to take my son? He's
yeah.
eight,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know?
That's fine.
I think it's okay.
That's fine.
I think it's okay. And I said to my wife last night, I was expecting to get some pushback, all right? I said to my wife yesterday, I just posed the question, I said the same way I go, so I just learned who's opening for Guns N' Roses. And she goes, who? And I go, Snoop. I mean, started laughing. She thinks it's awesome.
That's
so
awesome.
Like, so I was like, oh, all right. So we're good. And, yeah, it was never a question. She thinks it's fun. I think it's fun. So, yeah, he's going to go see Snoop.
She hasn't seen him in concert, has she?
I don't think so.
She doesn't know how much he curses, but it's all good. You guys are going to have fun.
No, but certainly she grew up on his music
the same way
I did. So she
knows. I had a buddy that was at a bar mitzvah like a couple months ago. And sends us the video. Snoop Dogg was performing.
At the bar mitzvah?
At the bar mitzvah.
Oh, man.
And let me tell you something. You would assume that since it's for a 13-year-old, 12-year-old.
How much do you think Snoop gets to play a bar mitzvah?
Ooh, I'm going to go with.
I guess it's $250.
No way.
More?
No, less.
Really?
$250?
Yeah.
Nah, I was going to say $80 to $100.
That's a deal.
You're talking about $250s are like, from what I heard from the music people, the people that are like $250 and more like right now, Drake, Cardi B, Kanye West. And Nicki Minaj.
All right, so you're saying the top hip-hop acts
yeah.
will perform shows like that for $250.
Yeah, like, okay. like in the club scene, that's what they do. So I'm guessing
all right, then $100 for Snoop.
It's around the same
right,
for bar mitzvahs, unless you do like the private parties overseas and like
for the Saudi
Abu Dhabi and stuff like that. That's when you're talking about millions, because then they say, Rihanna's like $3 million. They're like, all
right,
cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, man, the video he sent me, I was like, he didn't censor anything. It was everything was straight uncensored. I was like, these little kids are going to have videos for days.
Well, we're very open in my house. They're not going to be any curse words. My son, like, even though he's only eight, they're not going to be any curse words he hasn't heard before.
Oh, so he's good.
Yeah. That part's going to be fine.
He might smell something he's never smelled before.
Right, that for sure.
Oh, he's definitely smelling something.
Daddy, what's that smell? I'm like, oh, those are fancy cigarettes.
Yeah,
you know, that's obviously what I'm going to wind up saying.
Super fancy.
Let me give you a few headlines here. All right, so first of all, Dwayne Wade, happy 30th birthday. Today is Dwayne Wade's birthday, the greatest athlete in South Florida sports history. I never thought I was going to say that. Growing up, Dolphins, football town, Dolphins, Marino. And I've been saying it for years, okay? Wade is, and you know I love Marino, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Wade's the greatest athlete in the history of South Florida sports. There's no debate.
He's a Capricorn.
Yeah, I guess so.
So that means that's why he's a great athlete. All Capricorns are great athletes.
You Capricorn too?
Oh, hell yeah.
Also, your birthday's coming up also.
No, it was just passed, 29th December.
Oh, all right. My birthday's tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, how you love that?
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't know, man. I don't know if you're a Capricorn. I was going to lay out the Capricorns that I know, and now you're destroying, like, the athlete part of it.
I'm in, man.
Like, it was me. Then the day after me is LeBron James. The 14th was John Beeson, and today is D. Wade.
Yo, I lettered in high school, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're all-county 13? Honorable mention? What?
I mean, you know, sitting at the end of the bench.
Sitting at the left out?
No, well, it's basketball, so left bench, whatever.
Left bench.
Yeah. Hi, Leonard. Come on now.
Well, happy early birthday.
Thanks, man.
You're right next to the GOAT.
That's right. So happy birthday to Dwayne Wade, 38 years old, the greatest athlete in Miami sports history. The Heat are back in action tonight, 8 o'clock tonight, Chesapeake Energy Arena. Mike Ingles has your call. They are in Oklahoma City, so I'll get it started right here with the JetBlue Vacations Miami Heat pregame show at 7. The Panthers last night, they beat the Los Angeles Kings 4-3. That got hairy,
yeah,
okay?
Dude. They had to hold on.
The Panthers are 4-0 halfway through the third period. And little do you know, it's they're peppering Samuel Montembeau in the closing seconds of the game trying to get the equalizer. Panthers winds up winning 4-3. It got really hairy. But Dadonov, Vetrano, Matheson, and Boyle got the 4 goals for the Panthers. Chris Drieger, he left the game, I think, in the second. Maybe it was late in the first. He left with a lower body injury. I'm going to guess it's the groin. He stretched out trying to make it look like it was a groin situation. So Sam Montembeau, because Sergei Bobrovsky, like, his feelings are hurt, so he's out right now. And Sam Montembeau had to come in and save the day. He did a good job until the final few minutes there of that third period. Anyway, Championship Sunday is this weekend. The games are AFC 305, NFC 640. Both teams are a touchdown or so favorite. Kansas City is giving 7. San Francisco is giving 7.5. So you got significant favorites for both of these games. Tomorrow afternoon, you got some Canes basketball. You ever go to the Canes basketball games?
I've gone to a couple.
Yeah? Well, tomorrow's FSU.
Ooh,
does that interest
man.
You?
FSU's balling, though.
So, yeah, they're number 9
they're
in the
like
country now.
Winning 8 straight, 9 straight.
Yeah, Leonard Hamilton and them boys.
My goodness.
So, Canes basketball and FSU, that is at 1 o'clock tomorrow. How about tomorrow night? That's the main event. All right, tomorrow night, UFC 246, McGregor Cerrone. That's good stuff right there.
I get it, but I mean, listen, McGregor hasn't fought in how many years, and Cerrone, I don't know.
McGregor's a heavy favorite.
Of course he is.
I was very surprised to learn that. Cerrone's a real good fighter.
He is, but he's not elite.
I mean, McGregor, now I know Cerrone, you know, he's lost the last couple fights. McGregor's lost 2 of his last 3, you know?
Yeah, but he also fought Khabib. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one's, for him, like, this is a great fight for him because, you know, Cerrone's going to stand up with him. He doesn't want to fight a guy that's going to take
him to the ground. Cerrone said, I can take McGregor, some of the effect of, I could take McGregor to the ground, but I'm not going to. I'm going to stand with him.
Oh, yeah, okay. Now, this is the fight I like to watch.
Well, that's the kind of fight you want.
Because I want to see brawlers.
Yeah, well, that's what you want. He's just committed to standing with McGregor.
I just don't think he's going to be able to stand with McGregor.
Well, he said he's going to. So, and McGregor, heavy favorite, minus 325.
Oof.
So, that's tomorrow night. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm way into that.
Yeah, I'm definitely watching that.
And then it seems like you got this Houston Astros scandal has advanced a little bit. You want to talk a little bit about that? I want to get into that. All right. So the story continues to grow. The Houston Astros and the punishments, all that. Yesterday during our show, Carlos Beltran with the Mets, he stepped down because that's a disaster. Brian Monroe's our pal. He's in today for Amber. We'll get into that. Zazzle and Amber next. Hey, the Ticket and JetBlue Vacations. I've been telling about JetBlue Vacations for a while now. You know I love JetBlue Vacations. Well, We want to give you a JetBlue Vacations package of your own, all right? We're talking 2 round-trip travel certificates and a $1,000 travel certificate for hotel, car rental, and any activities going on wherever you're going. And you can win your very own JetBlue Vacations package by registering on the 790 The Ticket contest page. That's all you got to do. You just got to go register. You give your email. Boom. You could be the winner. So I want to get to the Astros stuff in a second here, but since we're talking about music to start the show, and I'm very excited this week, I'm going to find out if I got my Pearl Jam tickets any day now, sometime this weekend, and I'm super excited over that. But what comes along with also all this Pearl Jam hoopla is they are releasing a new album, okay, and that is coming out. It's coming out at the end of March, okay? They're releasing a new album. It's coming out at the end of March. It's exciting. They haven't released an album since 2013, so folks are way into it. Although I'll tell you, if I had my choice, and I like all their albums, if I had my choice between new album or tour, I'm always tour.
Yeah.
I got enough Pearl Jam music to keep me busy forever. I don't need any new Pearl Jam music. That's great. I'm excited for it, but tour is so much more exciting to me. But anyway, so with that said, I go onto Twitter this morning, and I see Eminem is trending.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, okay. Well, and you know my move, okay? First, I click on it. Don't be dead, because that's the first thing I think of. When someone's name is trending, that doesn't have to do with sports. Because for sports, for wrestling, for UFC, when those kind of events are going on, individual names are always trending. But that's because we're all watching sports at the same time. But why the hell is Eminem's name trending, all right? So please don't be dead. So I click on it, all right? And he is not dead.
Yeah.
He's not dead.
No.
Okay. But he dropped a new album last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just out of nowhere?
Just out of nowhere.
Just like that?
Just out of nowhere.
Because I've been hearing rumblings about a new Pearl Jam album for like a year now. And then earlier this week, they finally announced, yes, we have a new album, and it's coming out at the end of March. So just out of nowhere, Eminem, new album?
New album.
And that's a very hip-hop thing.
That's very, and they don't tell you anything. It's like,
so is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think nowadays it's a good thing because it's only, you're trying to trend, right? It's not like back in the day when you're trying to sell CDs, cassette tapes, whatever. You're now just trying to trend. So the biggest thing to do is shock everybody. Oh, shoot, what you mean he dropped an album? Nah, let me search it. So now everybody starts searching it.
Well, how do they keep that under wraps?
Oh, you got to do a good job because normally everything leaks nowadays,
yeah,
right? Somebody hears one song and leaks it
like
to the public.
No one has been talking about
nobody,
a new Eminem album?
Nobody.
I don't understand how that gets kept a secret.
I haven't heard it yet. I just saw people trending about it last night, but it was late, so you know, I'll wait till tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm a little worried, because I'm a huge M fan. Obviously, his older stuff. The last album.
How many albums Eminem have?
I don't know. You guess.
It doesn't have to be exact. How many things he's got?
12.
Oh, well, so you got a lot of albums.
13,
okay.
I don't know. I mean, going all the way back to 2000.
Yeah.
You know?
How many of those albums would you say are real good?
All of them except probably like Relapse and like this last one, Kamikaze.
Are those his last two?
No. What one was Relapse? I forget what Relapse was. But Kamikaze was the last one.
But for the most part, all of them are really good.
Man, they all bangers.
But the last one,
the last one I was kind of like,
really? Was that the general consensus?
A lot of people, to me, didn't really like it. That I know of.
When he dropped that album, he kind of became a meme. All over the internet, everyone just started kind of making fun of him.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Ever since the comedian Chris D'Elia, he's always doing his Eminem impersonation, and he just kind of became a... came together. And
what's his Eminem impersonation?
He just says, like, random things, but, like, in Eminem's flow.
I mean, Eminem's going to kick his ass. I don't talk about Eminem.
Yeah, but you know what? Eminem's not a fighter anymore. He fights with words, and it's like you can't fight him with words because his role play...
Who is it that he just had a back and forth with recently?
Nick Cannon.
Oh, that's right, with Nick Cannon.
Like, come
that's
on,
right.
Nick, you got no shot, bro. You got no
They've been beefing for a while, too.
Yeah, they've been beefing. Ever since he came out with a song about Mariah Carey, like, it's been over.
Okay, all right, so
that
makes sense.
I mean, I get it, but it's like, yo, my man, like, your wife has history, right? You can't get into those beefs because they did it before you.
Oh, really? Did Eminem have a thing with Mariah Carey?
Didn't that how it came down? That's how it came down. Like, they had a little thing where it was
a thing. That's a tough situation for Nick Cannon.
But it's not a win-win because you're after the dude, right? You can stick up for your wife and be like, oh, don't talk bad about my
wife.
Even
though it's not his wife anymore.
Yeah, but when it's the mother of his child, though.
Yeah.
So when you look at it and be like, look, you got into it knowing she's got history.
Yeah.
It is what it is, man. Like, there's no don't let anybody be disrespectful to your wife, but there's a place in everything because if you date someone that's been in the scene, they're going to be somebody you know.
So you do not have high expectations for this album.
I don't, man. I really don't. And it sucks.
Are you going to listen to it this weekend? Are you going to carve out some time?
Yeah, on the way home, I'm going to play it.
Okay.
Yeah,
but you got to buy it, right? Like, it's not just available, right?
No, Apple Music. I pay for monthly Apple Music.
Oh, and it's available on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you just stream whatever you want.
But yeah, it's such a hip-hop thing. Like rock bands don't do that.
No.
It's just, you wake up this morning, oh, Eminem made an entire album, and nobody knew about it. That's crazy that you don't find out. And I guess it has to be exactly what you said. Just the whole idea is just get trending.
Just trend.
Get trending. Get
the
people talking.
The biggest thing nowadays is trend, because it's not about buys anymore. It's about streams for them. So it's all, that's where they make a lot of their money.
And what's the album called?
Get Away with Murder
or something?
Music to be Murdered By.
Music to be Murdered By. Yeah, and apparently it has a lot to do with gun control and just gun laws, way into guns.
I mean, you know him, and he's got his little spat with Trump and everything. And they had that what did he have, that breakdown, like 3 minutes just going at him, stuff like that. So it doesn't shock me that that's what the album's about. But is that really M?
So if people don't think that, if in general people did not love Eminem's last album, does that hurt his does that hurt him overall?
It doesn't hurt his legacy.
Is it like Jerry Rice getting cut by the Seahawks?
No, because here's the thing, right? So everybody that grew up with him, and that was the early 2000s, stuff like that, we know what his music's all about. Now, the younger generation hears this and is like, this is your GOAT? This is the guy you said was the best?
This is your king?
Yeah, so you're like, hey, listen, just go back and listen to the old stuff. But music changes, right? So the music that was in the 80s, 90s, the beats are completely different. The flows are different. Nowadays, it's more about have a hook and have a good beat. The lyrics don't have to mean crap, because they don't most of the time.
Is he not good with the lyrics
anymore? Oh, no, he's the best. Okay. He's still the best. The problem is that this generation really doesn't care about lyrics.
What
that
a
much.
Stupid generation.
They like the hook. They like a good, like, catchy beat and a dance. That's it. So they look at rap completely different. The people that are goats to them are completely different than what I grew up on.
Well, if Eminem's first couple albums came out now, would this crowd love it?
I don't know. I really don't know, because it's completely different than it is now. What I would have loved to have is have the beats from this generation with the lyricists from the 90s and early 2000s. If you can combine those two, oh my God. You give like Andre 3000, Nas and stuff like that, the beats that they have now, it'd be some fire.
And the rap community, I mean, just overall, as far as Eminem goes, I mean, because obviously, you know, being by far the most famous white rapper ever. Like,
what, Vanilla Ice? Oh.
Eminem's got the respect of the community.
Oh, yeah,
right?
No. You ain't messing with him.
Like, it's not like those guys, like, you know, like Machine Gun Kelly or something,
no.
You know? Like,
no,
that ain't the same thing, right?
No.
Like, that's a joke.
Yeah, that's a joke.
But Eminem, everyone knows Eminem.
Oh, man. In the rap community, he's got the utmost respect by everybody.
Okay.
Like, everybody. He's the lyricist. He's the GOAT. Like, they always tell you, like, don't do it. Don't mess with that dude. And all the top dudes that always have the most beef are the ones that are saying that.
I feel like 12 albums. I mean, I don't know if that's an accurate number. It's probably something around there. I feel like it's a lot of albums.
He has 11.
11. I feel like it's a lot of albums for
pretty
a rapper,
close.
Right?
Pretty close, yeah.
I mean, do any other rappers have 11 albums?
Yeah, I'm
that's,
sure.
That's like a lot of albums.
Nah.
Jay-Z probably.
Jay-Z's got that. Yeah. Snoop's got to have up there too, right?
Yeah, maybe you're right. Just feel like that's a lot of albums.
What's
man.
Drake on? Where's the panda at?
Is Drake like an album every other year?
You see, it's different now, though, right? Because guys don't just do albums anymore, right? They drop LPs. They'll drop, like, 4 songs. They'll just drop a single because, again, it's about streams, right? It's not about sales. So if I could just stream and sell out my concerts, I make all my money.
Yeah.
But I did learn the trick that if you do release an album, then everybody tries to go through the whole album, so that's more streams for you. Even if they don't like the song, they still stream it, and that still counts towards a paycheck.
And so will people be buying this Eminem album? Will it?
Well, I mean, I think most people nowadays have Spotify or Apple Music.
That's so weird, man, how that goes.
It changes the game.
Yeah.
It really changes the game, because now you get paid for streams, not really sales. Well, back in the day, you're just trying to sell albums, like CDs, let's go, we got to sell. Now it's just about streams.
Yeah, like when Pearl Jam came out with their second album, it was the highest selling rock album of all time, okay, at the time.
Yeah.
And like this album they're coming out with now, nobody's going to buy it.
Yeah, because you're going to stream it.
Yeah, I mean, people are streaming, but also just the business just changed.
It's different.
Like, no one's going to buy it.
No.
You're going to have their fans are going to buy it. Like, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to pre-order it. But otherwise, like, it's not going to sell.
No, everybody's going to go on Apple Music or the Spotify. They're going to like, all right, Pearl Jam, boop, let me stream it. Let me see how it is. Oh, I like this one. Keep this one. Nope. Keep that one.
Were you a Napster guy in school? How old are you now?
35.
Oh, because you're a few years younger than me, but you were a Napster guy in college.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, man, because I was Napster when I was in college, because I'm going to be 39 tomorrow, so I'm 4 years ahead of you. Napster was it was the like the infancy of Napster when I was in school.
And then we had LimeWire.
Yeah, yeah. But once Napster got, you know, raided, yep. FBI, that whole deal, I was like, yo, come at me, bro. I don't care. I'm not deleting nothing.
Yeah, straight up. I didn't say anything. I'm like, hey, this is my downloads right here.
Oh, my God. I love Napster.
But it slowed down my laptop so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, yeah, of course. You got to be careful. And what was the streaming service that then you were able to get video, which, of course, meant I was able to download all the porn I wanted?
LimeWire.
That was LimeWire.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. That was my college days. We had LimeWire.
Because Napster was just audio,
music,
right?
Yeah.
Just music.
You get whatever you want on LimeWire.
Yeah. Napster was so good. You kids say you'll know, but you'll know about the struggle. Okay.
No, the struggle was real back
you'll
then.
You'll know about the struggle with our big honking computers. Okay, mm-hmm. Big honking desktop computers, and that's how you had to get the music was with Napster.
And then when they locked that down, then you had to go to YouTube and get the YouTube converter, and you convert the song off of YouTube to download to your phone.
Man. And yet to, and what's downloads? You weren't downloading nothing to your phone back then. You were burning off to a CD.
Yeah,
putting in your six disc changer in the trunk of your car.
Like, I got some younger clients that are like in college and stuff like that, and I go, listen, you guys don't got struggle hitting on chicks at your age, okay? You guys can hit a button to say like, and she sees you. Like, imagine making a CD for
God,
a girl
I
that
do
you
wonder
like,
what that's like, man.
And writing words on the CD and then giving it to her, writing notes saying, "Do you like me? Circle yes or no," and put
but
it in
you
her
know
locker.
What, man, there was a. There was an excitement to that, that.
I loved it.
That kids these days don't get. Like, I used to dig, you know, passing the note in the hall.
But
and
look,
that doesn't happen anymore.
That's the reason why this generation can't communicate. Because they never had to step up to the plate and be like, "Hey, Sally, I think you're cute." Now they don't have to. Now it's all technology and stuff like that. Now
passing
the
notes
communication
in the hall
is terrible.
And having to wait until later in the day when your classes crossed again, so you're hoping she's going to get your note back, you know, hours later. There was an excitement to that.
Oh, yeah.
That they don't know about anymore.
No.
They don't have anymore.
Nope.
It's all in the text right away.
That's all. Text,
I'm sure
social media.
I don't want to sound like grumpy old man, because I'm sure there's positives about the texting as well.
Hell,
I'm
yeah.
I'm sure there are positives.
Because,
okay?
Look, nowadays you can shoot your shot just like this. Boop. All right. And you can do it on, like, Snapchat, so it'll disappear.
Yeah.
Boop. Hey,
and
I never sent that.
And also, you got a little bit more courage on the text messages because
you're
not face-to-face. You have a little bit more courage. But there's some things that kids today that they don't get to experience. And I do think you miss out on. But anyway, yeah, music's different, man. I wake up this morning, Eminem's trending. An entire new album.
Yeah.
Nobody knew. Do you think anyone, like, when he's recording in the studio, everyone's got to sign, like, a non-disclosure, right?
I'm sure he's keeping his closest people in there. Because M's like...
Nobody says anything.
He's like a quiet, closed dude. Like, you don't ever see him in the scenes anymore. Like, you'll see, Snoop's out. Oh, this guy's out. But when's the last time you actually seen, like, M in the scene?
Yeah, I don't think he's big on social media.
Or like, heard him, like, he's at this party. He's performing. You know, he's never in the scene.
Is he on Twitter?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Huh. Let me see.
But here's the
right
thing.
Now.
It could be him, but it couldn't be him. It could be his marketing team.
Yeah, Marshall Mathers, Twitter. You want to guess how many followers he got?
How much?
I want you to guess.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
10 million.
22.
God.
He follows nobody. He follows nobody.
So then that says marketing team.
And you know what? He tweets.
Yeah?
Well, no, not that much. I mean, he's got a few tweets over the last 10 hours because he's, you know.
Dropped
this,
the album.
Yeah, the album's coming out. So he's got, but otherwise, before that, you know, he hadn't tweeted in 27 days. And before that, 38 days. So he ain't tweeting very much.
He ain't acting. He doesn't strike me as that type of dude.
Some of his tweets are vulgar.
Oh, no, not him. Never.
I think this one is directed at Nick Cannon because the vulgar one is right. The really vulgar one is right before I demand an apology, Nicholas. You've made my gardener so jealous. But right before that, he's very vulgar. Can't say it on the air.
Mm. All right. Get him in.
A lot of bad words. All right, we'll get you caught up on what you might have missed. Zazzo and Amber, O'Brien Monroe, next. Oh, man, Brian is showing me some of the Odell Beckham videos from the national championship, because I didn't see all the videos. Like, I guess there are a bunch of videos of them acting out, and one of them with him with Karl Malone on the field. And Karl Malone is super low-key since he got out of basketball. I mean, he's just out there living on the farm, you know?
Just chilling.
And, oh, man, old man Malone is what it looks like, right?
Oh, he's old. He
full
got
on
that gray
beard
going.
Beard. old man Malone. I used to love him.
Didn't he have something going on with his wife or girlfriend or something? That's what he was in the story for the last couple years about?
Oh, I don't know.
Could have sworn
if
he
so,
had
I don't remember.
Some issue outside of basketball.
I don't know.
I might be wrong, but I think it's him. Maybe somebody in the text line can remind me.
Old man Malone. All right, let's get you caught up on some things that you might have missed. Brian, why don't you go first here? What do you got for us, speaking of LSU?
So, you know, we got Joe Burrow, who's probably going to be the number one pick. We got NFL Films' Greg Koso talking about the aggressive mindset thrower of Joe Burrow.
I always struggle to make comparisons to all-time greats, and there's positive traits. He's certainly poised and composed in the pocket.
Yeah.
He's got a compact delivery. He's an easy thrower. He's pretty consistently accurate, and I think that's really, really important. And obviously, he's got movement ability, and he maintains his focus downfield. You know there's going to start being blowback on Joe Burrow, that he played with in a great offense. I mean, I think he's an aggressive mindset thrower. He's a competitive kid. People will start talking about his arm, and there'll be different conclusions about that regarding its relative importance.
I don't like the whole, you're going to start getting blowback, you play with a great offense, because we heard a lot of that with Tua Tagovailoa, especially earlier this year. And it's like, all right, great, but if that's the case, other guys aren't putting up these numbers that they did this year, and in Tua's case, that they were putting up this year. If it's all about, Alabama's offense, in Tua's case, they had plenty of years, Amari Cooper, Julio Jones. I didn't see anyone putting up those numbers.
I always laugh at that take. Like, oh, yeah, this. And I go, okay, how come this guy didn't put up those numbers? Greg McElroy, A.J. McCarron, where were those numbers?
Yeah.
They were just dudes. They were game managers. They didn't make anything special. He's special. Listen, you look at Joe Burrow, and there's things that you can say just besides his arm is able to deliver the ball. Like, his mindset, he's always so cool and collective. The way he's able to demand the team and the respect that they give him. Like, literally, everybody in the locker room loves the dude. And that's one of the biggest traits you need from a quarterback that needs to be the leader. He needs to command the huddle.
I thought it was cool where before the game, I'm watching the start of the game with my son on Monday night, and all the kids on LSU, they're jumping around, they're super excited, and they pan to Joe Burrow, and he's just sitting there on the bench, stone-faced, just waiting for the game to start. And my son's in, he goes, you think he's nervous? I go, yeah, I think he's probably nervous, but then I also have the conversation, I'm like, be nervous is good, okay? It's just, he was focused and ready to go.
And then he's probably got the best meme GIF game ever afterwards with the cigars, chilling, posted up, walking around. Man, he's just cool, man. It's like, you know what? That's what I want from my quarterback right there.
Let me give you something here that took place yesterday, a little bit before our show. And we got into a little bit late in the show yesterday, and we're going to get into it here because this Houston Astros cheating scandal has now, the story continues to advance. But on a different side of it, yesterday on Mike and Mike, Mike Golic and Mike Wingo, you had Jessica Mendoza, a former Olympic softball champion. She's on Sunday Night Baseball, ESPN. And it's also important to note, she is an advisor for the New York Mets.
Yep.
It feels like conflict of interest.
It does, right?
But Jessica Mendoza was a guest on Mike Golic and Mike Wingo yesterday, and she's not happy with the whistleblower.
Going public, yeah. I mean, I get it. If you're with the Oakland A's and you're on another team, I mean, heck yeah, you better be telling your teammates, look, hey, heads up, if you hear some noises when you're pitching, like, this is what's going on, for sure. But to go public, yeah, that it didn't sit well with me. And honestly, it made me sad for the sport that's how this all got found out. I mean, this wasn't something that MLB naturally investigated or that even other teams complained about because they naturally heard about and then investigations happened, but it came from within. It was a player that was a part of it, that benefited from it during the regular season when he was a part of that team. And that, when I first heard about it, it's just, it hits you like any teammate would, right? It's something that you don't do. I totally get telling your future teammates, helping them win, letting people know. But to go public with it and call them out and start all of this, it's hard to swallow.
So she got a lot of backlash.
As she should.
A lot of backlash there yesterday. I made the point yesterday, we have laws in this country to protect whistleblowers, because of reactions like that, per se, which obviously that's not a criminal situation, but it's the same kind of thing. So she got a ton of blowback. And, I mean, for one, that you want the investigation to happen naturally, organically. Well, the only way that's going to happen is if someone says something, for one, okay? It's not just poof, there's an investigation happening, all right? But let me read you, I don't know if it's backtracking, we could decide that here.
Oh, she moonwalked real quick on this one.
She then released a statement a couple hours later on Twitter, okay? And this is important because, You know, is she reacting there from a personal, I've been a professional player standpoint where she's not happy with the whole snitching aspect of it? Or is she coming from the perspective of, I work for the New York Mets, and now we just lost our manager as a result of this? So this is dicey ground for her. Because like we said, feels like a little bit of a conflict of interest here. So she released a statement. Statement reads, thought it was important to clarify my earlier remarks about the sign-stealing situation in MLB. Most importantly, I feel strongly that the game of baseball will benefit greatly because this sign-stealing matter was uncovered. Cheating the game is something that needs to be addressed, and I'm happy to see the league is taking appropriate action. The point I should have been much clearer on was this. I believe it's very critical that this news was made public. I simply disagree with the manner in which that was done. I credit Mike Fiers for stepping forward, yet I feel that going directly through your team and or MLB first could have been a better way to surface the information. Reasonable minds can disagree. Ultimately, what matters most is that his observations were made public and the game will be better for it. In regards to the Mets, I want to make it extra clear that my advisor role with the team does not shape my opinion in any way, shape, or form on this matter. I feel this way regardless of what teams, players, or managers are involved. And the Mets public relations also released a statement saying she appeared on Mike Golic and Mike Wingo as an ESPN analyst.
Yeah, uh-huh, sure.
Not
sure.
As a representative of the New York Mets.
Sure. Listen, they made her backtrack that. They made her backtrack that. I guarantee you they said something to her about that. Like, yo, this doesn't look good if you're part of our organization.
You better come back.
You got to come back. And then second of all, what she's saying is like, yeah, I'm cool with the cheating, but I'm not cool with, you know, the way you let it out. Like, we should let everyone cheat, forget the cover-up, oh, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yo, what is wrong with you? You talk about integrity of the game. This is integrity of the game. And I got to give props to Mike Fiers for putting his name on it. Because most dudes in this situation would be like, hey, I'm going to give you something, but you need to say anonymous source. Because if the anonymous source said this, it probably would have been swept right under the rug. But he put his name to it, and he said, yeah, I said it.
Tell you what. You know, Mike Fiers, decent pitcher, and there's going to be, you know, I said yesterday, good thing he's American League, doesn't have to step in that National League batter's box. Okay, that's for one. He's American League, he's with the Athletics now. When the Athletics play the Astros like 20 times, okay, half of those games are going to be in Houston. That's going to be it. He's going to start one of those games, all right? Like, that's going to be interesting. What kind of, look, we know what kind of reaction he's going to
get. Oh, we know.
It's going to be really bad. And, that like, Mike Fiers, he's probably going to get a reaction like that in several places, but most notably in Houston.
Yeah, but wait till the Astros teams go on the road. They are going to get booed in every stadium. They're going to get signs about cheating this and cheating that. They're going to get gimmicky costumes and everything like that because, as they should. Because here's the thing. We know that it wasn't just a manager. We know it was a manager, a bench coach, players. The players are going to, and like, we know the players aren't going to get any trouble right now. They're going to keep their World Series rings, everything like that. But they're going to get crucified everywhere they go. And look, I'm okay with you stealing a sign on the regular way. If you pick somebody's pitches up, cool. No problem. That's part of the game. Just like in football, if you pick up somebody's signs,
that's
the
why they have sequences, you know, when a guy's on second base.
Change it up. But the way that they did it, man, come on. You can't have that in the game.
Well, so speaking of, you know, what Brian's referencing there, it seems that the story, you know, may have been advanced a little bit yesterday with, you know, how they were cheating and, you know, how they were using the electronic, using the technology. And so Beltran steps down yesterday. And I do believe Beltran stepped down. Now, the Mets may have been about to fire him.
Yeah.
But Beltran is there like, all right, you know, the higher-ups there, they're discussing my future. They're trying to come up with what they want to do, and I haven't even managed a game yet. Like, this is not the way for me to start my managerial career. I'm going to step down. As opposed to Alex Cora, where they – do you know him at all? You know, he's a UM guy.
Yeah, I don't know him like that.
As opposed with Alex Cora, where they're, like, mutually agreed, nah, you got fired.
Yeah.
Okay. But I do believe that Beltran decided to step down on his own accord. He may have been about to get fired, but I do believe that he stepped down. So, anyway, yesterday afternoon, on Twitter, an account – that claims that Carlos Beltran is her TO, okay? Claims
even
that,
though they made a statement that said it wasn't.
Claims that she is Carlos Beltran's niece, all right? Went on Twitter and, you know, something to the effect of, I'm sorry, TO, I can't keep my mouth shut anymore, and disclosed how far the Astros were going as far as the cheating is concerned. We got that for you, Zazzle and Amber, next.